Everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, the host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I just want to give some gratitude and love over to BBS Networks, Don Newsom, Douglas Newsom, and Seth Hendrick for providing us with this awesome platform to raise consciousness using positive media. I have a really, really special guest this evening who has put together a website that is designed to create peace and co-parenting, and being that, you know, divorce is epidemic these days, it's a really wonderful thing to have to create peace, and I have a visionary peacemaker on tonight who's the founder of OurFamilyWizard.com, and if you want to pull that up on your internet, it's www.OurFamilyWizard.com. And you will see something that's available to you that you hadn't thought of, and it probably will get you very excited if you're a person in need of such a thing. And if you're not in need of it yourself, you might want to share it with your friends who are in need of it, because everybody knows somebody who's going through a divorce, unfortunately. And just to offer this up as another resource would be a wonderful gift you could give them by just telling them about it. So I have on tonight Jai Narayan Kisoon, who is an incredibly handsome young man to have done so much great stuff already, and the handsomeness and the youth are just, you know, it just makes such a wonderful full package of a person who's out there doing such good in the world and not wasting any time making a difference. And tonight's topic is cooperative parenting. Again, that website is www.OurFamilyWizard.com. And we have a special treat for you. Jai has offered 3 family subscriptions to the first 3 callers, 1 per caller. So the first 3 callers will get a family subscription if you're in need of such a thing. If you're going through a divorce, whether you have attorneys or not, or in court or not, this is a wonderful, wonderful place to create a foundation of wellness in your communication with your former spouse, or even if you're separated. This is an awesome website to create peaceful shared custody and cooperative parenting, which only causes the kids to thrive. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background about what cooperative parenting is and OurFamilyWizard.com is all about. And for the first time ever, parents can coordinate parenting time, schedules, health records, immunization histories, expense sharing, school information, virtual document storage, and much more on a website specifically designed to deal with the issues that arise in co-parenting situations. Our website is committed to removing conflict and improving the lives of children. In fact, judges in at least 35 states order families to utilize the site in contested cases to reduce conflict. The Our Family Wizard website has quickly become the leading way parents coordinate all of their vital information, divorced or not. So as I said, divorced or not, this site is for anybody who needs to create a foundation of wellness and communication with a co-parent. A little bit of background on Jai is Jai Narayan Kisoon has been involved since the inception of the Our Family Wizard website and has gained a lot of experience in both the legal and internet fields. He's been very active in all the areas of management for the company, including human resources, marketing, accounting, intellectual property, and many others. Mr. Kisoon is a 2001 graduate of the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota, where he majored in finance and entrepreneurship and minored in philosophy. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Jai for you. Hey, Jai, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Betcha. Wow, where to start? You know, I'm very, very excited about this because we're having a peaceful shared custody month, and we had Bill Eddy on our show as well as Tobias Desjardins, who is working on peacefulsharedcustody.com. So, you know, it all ties together in what's good for the kids. And, you know, being a former kid who wasn't in an atmosphere of peaceful, you know, parents, I can tell you right now that having a peaceful atmosphere where mom and dad are communicating peacefully with one another really, really takes the children out of the middle of the situation and allows them to just be kids, carefree kids, and not to impose any pressure on them that they can't handle. Because you don't want to put a 200-pound sack of flour on top of a 10-year-old or an 8-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 13-year-old. You just want them to be children. And what a wonderful way to set about creating an atmosphere for that, Jai. And I'd really love it if you could just share your heart about how you came to be the person who founded this. I know that your mom's a divorce attorney, and that that had something to do with your implementation, mm-hmm. probably a lot to do with it, but there's yep. something about you that this called to as well, and I'd like to hear yeah. about that.
Definitely. It was actually, I'm very fortunate. We're a big family business. It was actually my mom's cousin, Paul, who came up with the idea for the site, and my mom being the family law attorney, and she'd been practicing exclusively family law for over 25 years, was a logical call for Paul to make when things weren't going so well with his family. And basically, with Paul and his family, it was as simple as they had planned out their Christmas vacations. Mom had said, I'll take this week. Dad had said, I'll take that week. And Mom thought a week meant 7 days, Dad thought a week meant 5 days, and just due to that simple miscommunication, the kids ended up not being able to go on either of the family's trips that they had planned over the holidays.
Oh.
And so after that horrible disaster, and the sad part was is that they were completely amicable on this situation. This was something that they thought they had worked out and that they thought they had agreed on. And so after the fallout of this, Paul called my mom and said, Kathy, what do you think? Is there anything out there to help this? And so she did a little digging and couldn't find anything, and then she called me up, and I happened to be finishing up my last year of school at the Carlson School, and she told me the idea, and it just made sense. When I was in college, I remember watching the movie Office Space and thinking to myself, I'm going to leave business school and end up in some cubicle somewhere or crunching numbers or doing something that's not going to matter a whole lot, and I'm not going to have very much impact on anything, really. And to get involved in something like this website was just a tremendous opportunity that was, kind of bestowed before me. And when you looked at it, there's a lot of stuff out there in the marketplace that's been designed to help individuals and to help businesses, but there really was nothing out there to help, how we live our lives, which is within our families.
Yes.
And so, excuse me. So, we got started in 2001. We launched the very first version of the site in April or March of that year at the Family Law Institute here in Minnesota. And since then, it's just been a pretty eye-opening experience to get to be involved with this, to see, all of the different sides and issues, and there's a lot of emotion that goes along with it. And so it's been a tremendous road to get to travel down. And actually, it's kind of funny, before I mentioned that I just got married this last fall, and after 8 long years of being with my now wife, it was a decision that I didn't want to take lightly with my experience in this company. And
yeah.
It wasn't that she wasn't the one, but I think in life you need to go through some pretty high ups and some pretty low downs with your future partner to really understand, how you're going to move forward.
That's
so
true.
It's pretty amazing, the input. But we've been really blessed. We've had a lot of support from the professional community with the website since launching it. They really have just seen the benefits that it has for families. And, once a family starts using the site, it's amazing what opening the lines of communications between parents can really do to improve the situation, even in, the most high conflict and the most difficult situations. We have a lot of families that come to us under orders for protection and, no contact orders or restraining orders and that type of stuff as well. And so to be able to provide a tool that, ideally children should be able to have access to both parents, and if we can provide a way for that to happen, that's a pretty amazing thing.
Right. And, I just find it to be a really nice place for peacefulness to grow, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you can upload photos, and I believe you can upload mm-hmm. videos, and you can say, here's what we're doing when we have the kids over here, and then the other parent could say, well, here's what I'm doing when I have the kids over here. And even if one parent doesn't upload pictures, the other parent's getting to see some of them and mm-hmm. to understand that the kids are getting a lot of love from both houses. And
yeah.
Just short of being a robot, I can't imagine anybody that would not touch their heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, the interesting thing, the power of the site, I think, is, too, in the different levels of access that we provide. Maybe if I give a little bit of background, it might help understand how the site works. But essentially, all the different people who participate in the family are able to have a role within the website. And so mom and dad each get their own accounts. The children get their own accounts. We have a third-party account that was set up so that grandparents or if you have a child that's real involved in sports, that coaches can be involved. And then we also have a professional account that allows people who are neutrals in the process, like mediators and parenting consultants and parenting coordinators and all the other guardian ad litems and all the other neutral titles that have kind of come out, to be able to access and help the families more directly. And so what ends up happening is that the parents are much more empowered to do a lot of this stuff themselves instead of having to resort to having to return to court constantly.
Right.
And so within the site itself, there's a series of different features. There's a calendar, a journal, a message board, an information bank, and an expense log. And the real neat thing is that parents can go in, they can set up all of the different information, and as opposed to traditional like email correspondence or phone correspondence, where you have these long narrative formats, and if you're trying to find out the last time your kid had an immunization, like a tetanus shot or something like that, you might have to dig through 500 emails to try to find that information. Instead, when you're using our site, you know that that information is going to be stored in the immunization section. You go right there. The information is there. You can see when the last time the parent viewed that information. You can see the last time when it was updated. And so it really helps to bring a presence of mind for both parents, you know, in terms of being able to have access. And with the calendar, that was kind of the impetus for starting the site. And it's really, you know, it's amazing how just getting a bird's eye view of what's going on in the family can really help lead the family down a more productive path. You know, when they can see not just what's going on 2 weeks in front of them, but they can actually start planning for 6 months to a year in advance, you don't have these things become such heated and, you know, hot issues for the family to have to deal with, because they're, you know, being handled with time, and then, you know, with time you take pressure away from people.
Right, right. And you can just place in there the holiday schedule that both parents have agreed to, be it through court or just an amicable agreement where they didn't need to go to court. But, you know, everybody needs a holiday schedule hammered out and signed off on that everyone can agree to. And so that'll be placed in there, and both parents can log on and see what's next. Now, with regard, Jai, to the children having access to this site, do you recommend that the children are involved in this? Or is there just only parts of it the children are allowed to see, so that if mom and dad have a heated discussion on this site, which gets recorded and is never erased, are the children able to see that? Because we wouldn't want them to see that.
Yeah, correct. The children actually have very restricted access to the site, and all the parental communication and, like, the issues regarding expenses, all of that stuff is shielded from them. We are going to be coming out with some revisions to the site in the next probably few months here, where you'll actually be able to change what those permission levels are, because we've had requests from our users that their 16-year-old should be able to schedule their soccer practices, but they don't want the 10-year-old to be able to go in there and plan their birthday for an entire month.
See, that was my next question. It's like, what if there's a 10-year-old, a 10-year-old and a teenager, for them both to have equal access privileges it wouldn't be ideal.
Yeah. It, right now at this point, the accounts are mostly for viewing. You know, it's mostly so for, you know, either age child, they can go in and they can see the shared portions of the data in the calendar, so they can see, you know, am I going to be at mom's house this weekend or am I going to be at dad's house this weekend?
Yeah, and that's perfect for that, because not all children carry around a calendar with them. And, you know, if we want them to be children, they're not going to be wondering whose house they're at tomorrow. They're going to be kids. So, you know, to have our family wizard is just, oh, here's this cool site, let me log in, and, oh, okay, this is what I'm doing tomorrow. So,
I think more importantly even than that is that I think in a lot of parenting relationships, it becomes really easy for the burden to be placed on the kids to have to try to remember where they're supposed to be, you know.
Exactly, my point. They, you know, they can't be expected to remember that because sometimes they don't know where their other shoe is.
Exactly.
Let them go find their shoe instead. So what I'm going to do right now is give your website again and give out some call-in numbers so that people can call in to claim the free subscriptions. Again, we have three free family subscriptions, which is a value of, what, $200?
Yep.
Each one. Okay, the call-in numbers are toll-free worldwide is 888-815-9756. And the other numbers for line 1, 2, and 3, line 1 is 530-327-7602. And line 2 is 530-776-5185. Line 3 is 530-413-4511. And again, it's ourfamilywizard.com, www.ourfamilywizard.com. So the first three callers will each win a family subscription. And if you want to call in and ask questions or make comments and you don't need a subscription, that's okay too. Just let us know when you call in. And Jai, I want to ask you this question. Who thought up the name ourfamilywizard.com? Because that is brilliant.
Well, it was actually kind of a heated debate back in 2001. We all sat in a room, and it was kind of the game of what are the words that mean something to us and what are the words that are available on the Internet at the time. So it was kind of a long process of working with my, you know, the original founding partners and looking at, you know, these are the words that we want to kind of embrace the feeling of what we want the site to do. And after long, deliberative discussions, this is where we ended up.
Perfect. It's whimsical, it's profound, it's heartfelt, it's friendly, it's approachable, and it's affordable.
Mm.
It's great. So, so more and more, the judges are actually making it a court order for high conflict spouses or former spouses, high conflict divorces, for them to sign up to this service and use it to create peaceful co-parenting, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We actually have judges now in at least 35 states that we know for sure, and there's probably more out there where they're ordering families to use it in the contested cases. And a lot of times where we see the orders as opposed to it being stipulated or agreed to by the parents is in the real high-conflict families that are especially coming to the courts as post-decree families, you know, kind of the repeat offenders, if you will, the ones that are in court week after week, month after month, well past the point of having a judgment decree and, you know, a parenting agreement and all the other things that they should have in place to be able to move forward. And so with these families, we've had just a tremendous amount of success because now, for once, when they do return to court, it's less of an issue of the he said, she said, the I didn't know about this, dad never told me that, mom never said this. Instead, they come to court with documentation of what was said or what was not said. And so if mom's supposed to tell dad about parent-teacher conferences 14 days before they happen, she now has a way to very clearly show that she, you know, met her obligations under the parenting agreement to, you know, facilitate the other parent knowing about what the kid has going on in their life.
Right.
And then that creates a whole other thing where is the other parent being responsive and are they checking the information so that they can stay involved? And so the more, especially in the high conflict situations, the more both parents get involved and provide information, and as long as they're respectful of each other, the outcome is just tremendous for the family because now the child knows where they're going, the parents know where the child's going, and, you know, little things like I had a guy call me up after the Christmas holidays this last year, and he was very grateful because he was doing the Christmas shopping and he couldn't remember his kid's shoe size. And rather than having to call up his ex and deal with a conversation about why he's a bad parent because he doesn't know his kid's shoe size, he was able to go to the Apple store at the mall that he was at, jump on a computer, look it up on the info bank, and pull that information up and have access to everything.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Now, so in your opinion, it's perfectly safe for kids to also participate in this because they have limited access?
Yeah, I mean, it obviously is going to depend on the parents' comfort level. I mean, we don't try to impose any rules and saying they have to do it or don't have to do it. It's obviously a comfort level thing, but I can definitely say with, you know, absolutely no hesitation that the children on our site are going to be very safe. Because it is a closed unit that is only available to people who are given access by the parents, it's not like you have to worry about, you know, sex offenders and all the other kind of stuff that happens with MySpace and Facebook and those other sites. Because those are just not, you know, those are social mediums. They're designed for everyone versus this, which is a closed system that is very strictly designed for a family.
Right. Now, for the pictures that get posted and the fun things like that mm-hmm. that just show mm-hmm. really healthy, happy atmosphere, would the kids be able to see that stuff?
To a certain extent. I mean, some of the stuff, the pictures and the My Files, the way it's set up right now, is somewhat limited in terms of how they can have access to things. Like I said, we have plans in the near future to try to, you know, enhance that so that it has a little bit more flexibility in terms of, you know, which sections they can see and which sections they can't see.
Right, as you learn what the public's needs are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we want to err on the side of safety and privacy more than anything. So, yeah, if we err on any way, it's going to be that, you know, we're protecting the information more than we're just, you know, providing it to whomever. And so in that, like, you know, that's brought up kind of an interesting thing in the past where we'll get subpoenaed for records and things like that, and we have a very strict privacy policy that we enforce, and, you know, we don't just give up information to anybody who requests it. So we're very, very cognizant about who our subscriber base is and what their issues are and, you know, what it is that brought them to the site.
Right, right. And just off the top of your head, approximately how many subscribers do you think you have today?
Right now, I'd say we're about right around 10,000 families using the site, and
wow.
That works out to about 20,000, about 22,000 users, including professionals and
right.
whomever else. We do have a number of families. We have divorce isn't the only reason why people use our site, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We have a number of single parent families that use the site just as an organizing tool and a convenience factor. We have intact families that, you know, will use one account instead of the two accounts because they don't need to have the documentation of who said what when.
Right.
I've actually even had a few families where they've actually flipped the roles and they have had the children set up as the parents and the parents set up as the children so that they could take care of an elder mother or something like that and coordinate care that way.
Wow.
Which has been kind
That's
of an
wonderful.
Interesting twist. Yeah.
Really?
Amazing. You give people a tool and they'll, you know,
structure.
Figure out a better way to use it, for sure.
That's wonderful. Hopefully more and more, and people won't be in high conflict situations, and it'll be mm-hmm. more and more of how to take care of each other.
Well, I mean, that's the real interesting thing about this is when we developed this thing to begin with, we really kind of envisioned this being something for, we called them the kumbaya families, the people who really just wanted everything to be great, and they were looking for tools to avoid conflict and tools to make their lives easier and better. And in the end, the way that we're going to get to those families is by dealing with some of the most difficult families, you know, that the court system has ever seen. I mean, we had one family that came to us before using the site. They had spent between the two parents over $500,000 in legal fees in 2 years fighting, just week after week in court, fighting over this, fighting over that. Dad didn't bring cleats. Mom didn't do this. And they put the family onto the site, and in the 4 years since using the site, they've only spent $150,000. So it doesn't remove conflict, but it removes conflict. It's not going to completely, you know, it's not a panacea. You're not going to just get on the site and it's going to make everything perfect. But the more you work towards things, the more of these solutions you can come up with on your own rather than having to go back to court.
Oh, I get it. That's wonderful. And how do you have a reluctant parent join if they've been court ordered and they're just a bit recalcitrant? How do you get them to join? What do you guys do on your end?
Well, when a parent signs up for the site, we, you know, we'll ask for the other parent's either email address or phone number, and then we'll actually contact them, explain to them what the site is, how we came across, you know, how we got their information and everything, and then invite them to join in so that they can get linked up and, you know, don't have duplicate families. And generally, you know, the reception at first is always, especially with families that didn't come to us from the courts, and one parent, say, just like read about us in a magazine or something like that, there'll be a little more reluctance. But once they get into the site and kind of look at what the site offers and, you know, for the price that it does offer it, if this thing saves you going to court just once, it's paid for itself for 5 years.
Right. I hear you. And that's a very, very good point. Why do you think some people resist joining our Family Wizard? Do you think it's because everything that's written there is not, you're not able to change it or erase it or delete it, that it's just there for, you know, a third party to see if you
I
have
think a- it's a loss of control, because when you control the channels of communication, you control the information that's being disseminated, and when you lose that control and you're forced into a situation where you're doing what's best for your kids, which is sharing information openly with the other parent instead of game playing and manipulation and things like that that typically happen in these more high conflict families, and you get to more of a cooperative level, that's a scary thing for a lot of people, because with the divorce, I think, comes a lot of emotion and comes with a lot of baggage. And, you know, the getting over that feeling and moving on to do what's right by your children is not always the easiest thing.
Right, or the most obvious thing when somebody's really hurting a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you know, actually, as I'm thinking about this, I'm seeing that ourfamilywizard.com can be an excellent tool for healing.
Oh, definitely. And I had a family from where the parents lived in different states, and mom had basically no contact with her kids at all. Dad had full custody of the kids, and she tried emailing and some other things, and it didn't work. And then finally, they got ordered to use the site, and just through the children being on the account and being able to see when their soccer practice was and everything else, they ended up going to the site on a regular basis, and then mom was able to actually correspond with them through our message board. And since being on the site has actually rekindled the relationship and is on a lot better terms with her children, who she, you know, hadn't spoken to in years. So
Wow. It
definitely, you know, like I said, it's amazing. You know, one of the big lessons I've learned through working on this project and with this company has been, I think a lot of miscommunications aren't purposeful. You know, bad communication communication is a skill that is something that needs to be developed over time. And I think, you know, if people could communicate well, they probably wouldn't be getting divorced in the first place. So to think that after a divorce, you're going to be able to get along with the ex and everything's going to be hunky-dory because it's your ex now instead of your husband or your wife is just kind of, you know, unrealistic.
Right. Right. That's a very good point also. So, you know, once a person surrenders to, okay, I'm going to do what's best for the children, I'm going to just do my best to not bring my emotions onto the kids and just do what's best for the children, it takes surrender. And when they finally come to the place where they can surrender, then this site is so user-friendly and welcoming and intuitive that it would probably bring a great deal of relief to the person who was resisting, do you not think?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It was pretty funny. About 2 years ago, we did a major system upgrade. And in the 2 days that we were transferring systems and everything, I had a user where she had little basketball icons on the calendar. And the icons stopped appearing for a day, you know, during this transition. And she called up and she said her kids was all in tears because he didn't know when basketball practice was. And he didn't even want to look at the calendar anymore.
Oh.
And it was just amazing to me that something as simple as an icon on the calendar can mean so much to, you know, this little kid. And it really what it was is the ability for him to connect with not only himself but his other parent, you know, the mother, and know what's going on in his life, you know, and out of the chaos he was able to kind of have a roadmap. And so when that roadmap got changed, it kind of really threw him for a loop. So it was fun. I mean, we got that fixed within the day that it got reported. But it's just interesting for me to see, because I don't have children yet, to see the kind of impact the smallest of things can have, you know, on kids. So,
well, yeah, divorce rocks their world, and they just need some stability. And to have a basketball icon as a stable thing for them to count on and then all of a sudden have it disappear could trigger abandonment for them all over again.
Yeah, yeah, it was just amazing. Like I said, it's been quite an eye-opening experience for me to go through this whole process and, you know, learn about, you know, everybody's experiences. And, you know, another interesting thing that we've kind of seen too is that a lot of the issues that seem very unique to each family really end up being very much similar to the issues that are facing other families. And, you know, one of the other interesting tidbits that we've kind of seen is that if you look at like the average age of the children coming to our site where the parents are getting a divorce is right around that 6, 7, 8 range. And the interesting piece with that is that that's about the age when children start to live their own lives. You know, all of a sudden they have their own sports and they have responsibilities and they're less passive in terms of parents' involvement with them. And I think that that adds a lot of stress. And if you don't have good communication skills and a way to share what's going on in the families, it leads to, you know, divorce.
Yeah.
And And actually, that even funnier story is we did have a family. The only refund I felt really good about in the 8 years of doing the company was I had a dad who got on the site and got the other parent on board, and within a month of using the site, they realized that their issues weren't about their issues. Their issues were about they weren't talking with each other, and so they ended up actually reconciling and getting back together. So, like I said,
oh, seriously?
Yeah, I wish I could make that up, but
amazing.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's amazing. Look what you caused.
Yep, at least once I can say that.
Yeah, that's great. And you know what? That's only one person you found out about, but there's probably a whole bunch of others that haven't told.
So, yeah, and I encourage people that if they do go to the website, you know, rather than listening to my little spiel and conversation, they can read for themselves what some of the subscribers have said. If they go down to the bottom of the page, there's a section where they can click on testimonials and they can read feedback from both professionals and parents who have used the site and have had some pretty, you know, tremendous results. Even one of them in there is a grandfather of a service member who has been able to get involved in his kid's life where he'd previously been completely uninvolved because of a divorce and his child being stationed in another country. So it's pretty amazing, you know, the amount of impact that this does have on people's lives.
So this site could be used internationally?
Definitely. We actually have subscribers in all 50 states here in the U.S., and we have throughout all the Canadian provinces and then 13 other countries as well, ranging from South Africa to Germany, Japan, Great Britain, elsewhere as well. Yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of having this information on the web is that it's not stuck with your computer. If your computer dies or your hard drive fails or something like that, you don't lose this information. We host it. We maintain it. We guarantee that it'll always be there. And so with that, you can access it at home, at work, on vacation, wherever you may be. And, you know, like I said, the guy at the Apple store at the mall was able to pull up the information that he needed on a moment's notice.
Right, right. That's wonderful. And I'm wondering if you have, what is your most touching story about Our Family Wizard so far?
My most touching story?
Whatever comes to mind.
Yeah, you know, like I said, probably the same family where the kid with the basketball icon, they were really intense into the site because they had a real difficult situation. And, you know, to have a parent actually call me up in tears and, you know, be so very grateful that finally they're able to go through the court system and have the court system work for them because they weren't getting caught up in legal mumbo jumbo and everything was documented. And for the first time, it was a clear picture of what was going on. I mean, that was a pretty amazing experience for me to have somebody, you know, that emotionally pushed by the site. So,
yeah, and grateful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. So it's a really great website, and I'm just wondering if you're able to post video on Our Family Wizard yet.
The way we have it set up right now is there's a My Files section within the info bank, and you can basically post anything that you can get onto a computer up there. We do have storage limitations, and people can buy more storage space, but we give them a fairly hefty amount of storage space. You can put, you know, quite a few pictures up there and lots of documents and not run out of space, so...
Right, and when you do that, does the other parent get to see that, or is it? Can you mark it private, or can you leave it for public?
Yeah, everything on the site has the ability to be deemed, by default it's shared, but anything on the site can be deemed as private, so that if you want to keep your private work schedule in there, or let's say you just don't want the other parent knowing what pants size you wear right now, you can mark that as private.
Right, that's cool. So whatever pictures you post, by default, it's shared, and mm-hmm. that means the other parent can see it, and also if there's a professional account on there, let's say a parent coordinator or coach or a child advocate or somebody like that, then they would be able to see the photos and see, you know, the thriving going on and the communication levels, because I do know that some contingencies of a custody schedule are based on how well the parents are communicating. So this site would definitely prove who's communicating and who isn't, and also be a breeding ground to cause communication, right?
Yeah, and that kind of brings up a real interesting point, which is many families will leave the court system and they are given this judgment decree and court orders and all these instructions. But the problem is that those instructions only work as a template for life. You know, obviously if there's a wedding or a funeral or whatever comes up that needs to be dealt with, it's going to require things to change. And we actually, one of our patent pending features is the ability, parents have the ability to actually trade days using the site. And so if I was going to be out of town this weekend, I could say to the other parent, hey, I'm going to be gone this weekend, but in 2 weeks I see that, you know, I'm supposed to have the kid, or you're supposed to have the kids, I'll take them that week. And then the other parent can then go in and either approve or refuse that request. And so if they refuse the request, because maybe 2 weeks from now doesn't work, but 3 weeks does, they can actually make a counteroffer. And the best part of this is that along the process, all of these different requests and approvals and refusals and everything is being documented so that as you return to court to deal with issues, it's very clear who said what, you know, and if you have a situation where one parent is not, you know, not being accommodating to the other parent, it becomes very clear and evident, because if you have 20 requests coming from one parent that are all being approved, and then another 5 requests coming from the other parent that are always being denied, it helps for the judges and the other professionals involved to be able to see what is really going on and who's not playing, you know, who's not playing fair.
Right. That's beautiful. And that's printable, and you can just print it out and take it to court, or you can also save it to computer and then email it to, let's say, an attorney or somebody who's involved in the advocacy for your peaceful moving forward, right?
Yep, and every nearly every section on the site has a format for it as well that's printer-friendly so that users can easily access their information. So it'll either set up to print, like, from a browser page, or I think nearly every section now has the ability to print a PDF where the site will actually generate a PDF file for you where everything's pre-formatted to fit on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. So it's a nice clean file that you can just email off to your attorney or whomever else you need to send it to.
Right. That's wonderful. And also wondering, in a professional account, like a person who has a professional account on the co-parents account, how much access do they have to the site, and do they need to get permission from both parents to have that?
Yeah, actually, the third-party account is the one that we had set up for the grandparents. That's very limited. It's actually real similar to the child account more than anything.
Good.
The professional account is very, very access-oriented, and it's designed so that somebody can really get in and see all of the messages sent and received and stuff, you know, basically everything from everyone. And so we do require an actual signature from both parents saying that this person, you know, should have access, and they can either mail or fax that into us to get that person access. But yeah, like I said, we take people's privacy very, very serious, and you know, the worst thing that could happen is having somebody gain access to a parent's information that shouldn't have that access. So
right.
Yeah, every step along the way is documented for our protection as well.
Right. So when a professional account is created, it's not like just a third-party account. That person who's the professional will need to then activate that account and monitor it as they see fit, correct?
Yep. And the professionals love it because, you know, one of the things with the kind of move to email as a mainstay of communication is that a lot of these professionals end up getting CC'd on everything from will you bring the kids cleats to soccer practice to actual issues. And so this is a real good way to kind of disengage the professionals so that they don't have to be called into battle, so to speak, unless it's real issues. And when the issues do arise, it'll be brought to their attention, and they can jump right into the data and be brought right back up to speed.
That's wonderful, because I'm sure that they get just an ocean of emails and don't know which ones are important and which ones are not important. Especially based on the communication style of the person sending the emails. Like, some people don't put in the subject exactly what the email is referring to. And, you know, the same subject goes back and forth, yet the content changes within the email. So, you know, the person has to open it all to find out what's going on. So,
and that actually was one of the big reasons why a lot of the courts have moved to loving our site so much, is that email, as great as it is not a very secure communication tool, and it's actually really, like, if I wanted to, well, I couldn't, but my tech guy could send you an email from your own email account fairly easily. It's really easy to manipulate information with email and to make it look a certain way. And another big problem is that, like you were saying, and you get these long reply chains where you're expecting all of the previous communications to be in that reply chain, and parents can go in and selectively edit out what they don't want to be in the record, so to speak. And so depending on which email chain got entered into court, it creates this kind of discrepancy of what is the most current information. And by using a service like our site, you're able to have everything verifiable back to a server. And so if it's not on the site, it was never in existence because we never delete anything.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
I had a really interesting case come out of the East Coast where Mom, you know, and this is not really a big surprise, but Mom was able to figure out what Dad's username and password was. Well, they were married for 10 years. You know, the guy only uses 5 usernames and passwords, so it didn't take too much for Mom to figure that out. And so she went in and was able to send, she ended up logging into his account and sending herself a message from his account and then logging out. Well, because of the data that we track inside of the site via, you know, our administrative tools, we are able to go in and show that there was a login from the public library that's 2 blocks from her house 5 minutes before his actual login, which came from his house, which is nearly 45 miles away.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, so it's been pretty interesting. It's kind of been a game for us to try to figure out the different ways that people are trying to abuse the system and, you know, put a stop to that.
Yeah, and make people accountable.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. And I know that, you know, with reading Bill Eddy's book, High Conflict People in Legal Disputes, that there are a lot of people who will do a lot of things just so that they can win or be right. And if you were to read, I'll bet you've read Bill Eddy's book.
Yeah, actually, I see Mr. Eddy out on the family law circuit, if you will, all the time. He's a great, great, intelligent, wonderful person who is.
He is. And tell him hello from me.
Definitely.
And if you read his book, you're going to find out all kinds of clever ways that someone could corrupt the system or try to abuse the system just so that they can have records of it, because your system is known for nothing being deleted and whatever was said is what's documented. So, you know, there's a lot of information in the High Conflict People in Legal Disputes that might make you giggle.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting, too, because, you know, I was listening to your previous interview with Mr. Eddy, and you know, I heard him talking about, you know, the psychological issues that come into play. And I think one of the funniest quotes I ever heard early on was from a judge. And he said, you know, divorce makes normal people crazy. So imagine what it does to people who are already just a little off kilter.
That's funny.
You know, which, you know, so and the problem is it just intensifies the emotion and intensifies everything else. And so
gasoline on a fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
Basically, I mean, the potential is there. You can have one stable party and one unstable party, and it's still going to, you know, be gasoline on a fire.
Exactly.
And, you know, and stable people don't always know how to deal with unstable people, and the slightest thing they say is enough to set them off, and nothing, they can't say anything right, especially when there's rejection and abandonment. And I do know, after reading Bill Eddy's book, that what causes this intense high conflict a lot of times is if somebody has been abandoned in their childhood. Like, let's say a father walks out on them when they're 1 year old, and then all of a sudden the person is finding themselves in a divorce. That abandonment they felt when they were 1 year old, and all of their life is going to come rushing back on them as if it all happened just that minute, and they're going to go into fight or flight mode and not even know that they don't know they're a high conflict personality. Mm-hmm. They're the last ones to know. And, you know, my heart goes out to them because it's such a difficult position to be in, because we all have baggage. And those who have real strong abandonment and rejection issues, when a divorce, you know, is coming into their life, that sets them off. And that, I mean, it just, you know, if they knew that they were going through that, they would run, not walk, to the nearest therapist and get help. But they don't know that that's what's happening. And it's just the psychology of the high-conflict person is so intriguing to me, because it's very real.
Yeah.
And they don't know they're doing it. And there are even high-conflict litigators who the high-conflict person will seek out, so that you've got two high-conflict people coming at you. the one who's suing you for divorce and the one who is representing the petitioner. And, you know, you've got all that to deal with, and sometimes not even a stable litigator knows how to deal with that. So Bill Eddy's out training judges and attorneys on how to recognize high-conflict personalities and how to diffuse those situations and bring peace to communication as best they can so that the family courts won't be so clogged up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the biggest lessons I wish most parents going into a possible divorce would reflect upon, you know, whether or not it keeps them from getting divorced or not is really, you know, kind of inconsequential. But a realization I think a lot of parents need to come to is that if they do get a divorce, nothing changes, really. I mean, it changes you're not going to be with that person anymore. But if you have children with that person, you're going to be seeing that person at high school graduations. You're going to be seeing that person at weddings. You're going to be seeing that person at college events. And so you need to really, I mean, look at the bigger picture. And rather than getting wrapped up in winning this particular fight, you know, the more longer-term battle is are we going to raise a successful and healthy child through our co-parenting relationship? And when you make that kind of realization that, hey, you know, just because we're divorced doesn't mean I'm done with this person anymore. And obviously, you know, there's different situations where there's violence and abuse and everything else, and that all is an above and beyond circumstance. But I think for the majority of families that enter it, it's not, you know, those real crazy contentious situations. And with that, you know, I think if they just made that recognition that, hey, this is, you know, they're no longer going to be sleeping in the same house as me, but I'm going to have to make a lot of really big decisions based on their input.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's something that gets kind of glossed over in the process.
Well, yeah, my son's 26 now, and last night there was an issue, and I called his father, mm-hmm. who I have a relationship with, and between the two of us, we found a solution that completely resolved everything, and the inspiration that came out of it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he wasn't somebody I felt like I could talk to or speak to or call or ask his opinion, then I would have been on my own with that. So I'm really shooting myself in the mm-hmm. foot by not communicating properly with mm-hmm. my child's parent.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that brings another great point, which is, and I think one of the reasons why our site has been so successful is that if you can give parents the ability to have these minor successes in their co-parenting relationship, something as simple as what are we going to do for Easter, or what are we going to do for the last, you know, conversation, what are we going to do over the spring break holiday, how are we going to handle these situations, and if they're able to come to a resolution on their own without having to involve attorneys, they see that having a successful co-parenting relationship is possible, and it's not something that is going to be, you know, this utopian ideal.
No, it rarely is. I mean, even a good mm-hmm. marriage has its ups and downs.
Yep.
So, you know, it's like in my divorce was actually better than my marriage. It was incredibly peaceful and amicable. And as a matter of fact, my former husband came to my wedding in March and took my husband and I out to lunch. So
that's wonderful.
Yeah, and it is possible. And my stepchildren know about him, and they can't wait to meet him, and they're always talking about him, and he's coming to Thanksgiving, and, you know, it doesn't mean that it's the end of a relationship. It means it's the beginning of a new relationship. It's really not the end of one. It's the beginning of one, and it's the beginning of one where the children can see that they can grow up and be adults who can have a relationship with someone who they may not want to live with, but they can certainly have a relationship with them that's civil and kind and in the best interest of everyone. Because
mm-hmm.
we're role models for our kids.
Definitely.
And the kids will model what they are taught. And, you know, in my situation, I didn't have good role models as parents. And that made me determined to grow up and be a really good parent. And, you know, I thought as long as I don't do the things that I witnessed, then I'm going to be a good parent. But there's a lot more to it than that. When you're really putting the child first, you're putting your own emotions out of the way, and you're growing up in a New York second to make sure that the kids see you being a responsible person who can take care of themselves, because If mom's okay and dad's okay, the kids are okay. If mom's not okay and dad's not okay, the kids are not okay. So, you know, it's like I had to put on an Oscar-winning performance in front of my son when I got a divorce from his father so that he would see that I was able to take care of myself and him, and he didn't have to worry about it and lose sleep over it at night, and he didn't have to be the man of the house. So, you know, it really takes a conscious effort to put your kids first. It really does. And our family wizard is a wonderful way to do that. And it really helps us all grow up to be able to communicate for the good of the children. And I'll tell you, I believe that nothing comes into our life by random results or accident. I believe that everything is designed to help us grow. And I believe divorce is designed to help us grow, because sometimes we marry our parents so that we can work out issues. And then when those issues are worked out, we wonder why we married that person. And sometimes, you know, marriages end for reasons like that. Marriages can end because you fell in love with someone's possibility or their potential, and then you're trying to make them live into that, and they can't because it was you who fell in love with a potential that wasn't real. So, you know, things dissolve and disintegrate for the reasons they do, and I believe that divorce comes into all of our lives to train us for greater things. And it's really how you approach it and what is your perspective going into this. Can it be conscious or can it be unconscious? The choice is up to each one of us. And, you know, for $99 a year, you can have this wonderful resource to create a foundation of wellness that can serve future generations for your children and their children's children. And it's the possibilities are endless with a site like that. And I do see how it's really designed for peaceful shared custody and co-parenting. And, you know, I see you, Jai, and all the people involved with our family wizard as being visionary peacemakers. And Bill Eddy is one of them, and Tobias Desjardins is one of them. And, you know, there are many, many more. There's a wonderful counselor who's a specialist in step families named Yaffa Balsam. She is one of them. Peaceful divorce attorneys. I'm sure your mother's one of them, and many of your family members who help bring this about. So, you know, more and more I'm seeing people who really are out there getting out of their own way to make a difference. And I don't know what age you are, but you look very young. And to have this much insight and impact, you know, at this point in your life makes me very excited for your future.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I actually just turned the big 3-0 this year. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful.
One thing I did want to mention before we run out of time, too, is that the site is $99 a year per parent. The children accounts are free, the professional accounts are free, and the third-party accounts are all free. And we do scholarship families based on need, because we try to set a price point that would be very accessible to people and wouldn't be something that would make this tool something for just the haves and not the have-nots. And so I have a number of subscribers. I have a guy who sends me $5 a month because that's what he can afford. We have another series of families that are using the site at no cost, and we just ask that, you know, people who actually need the service and can't afford it are the ones trying to get the scholarship accounts and not people with plasma TVs and just don't want to pay for this. So we do require some sort of documentation, but we definitely want to make that available because we don't want, like I said, cost to be an issue to keep people from using the site. Like I said, I have a number of people that are using the site for free, and they actually go to public libraries because they don't have computers and internet connections at home, because the benefit still of being able to have access to the information, even if it is at a library, is still far better than, you know, what was the result of their traditional means of communication.
Right, right. And using this resource can also save a lot of people a lot of attorney's fees and a lot of headaches.
Yep. And that's another thing, too, is that if parents want to use the site and the other parent is very resistant, a lot of times now if one of the parties, you know, stipulates to using the site throughout the court process, a lot of times it'll be awarded and the family will be ordered to use it for at least a year so that they can see if it's something that makes a difference for them. And that has been a way a lot of our families have come to us, because one parent is, you know, caught on to us, read the stuff, got background information, wanted to try it, but couldn't get the other parent to participate, so they never actually took the first step. And so once they were able to bring it, you know, I definitely don't recommend somebody go to court over the use of the website, but if you're going back to court, over, you know, the same type of issue, he didn't tell me this or she didn't say this or whatever it may be, that would be a perfect time to say, hey, you know, I might have a solution so that we don't have to keep doing this.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're going back to court anyway, might as well bring it up and get it in the court papers.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Jai, we've got one more minute in the Spiritual mm-hmm. Hollywood Hour, and I'd just like to hear whatever's there for you about, because we're a global radio show. We have about 78,000 listeners, and what would you want everybody listening to know about their situation, even if they're not in it, should they ever become in it, or what would should they say or could they say to their friends who are going through breakup or separation or in need of structure to keep a family calendar even if the family's intact? What's in your heart to say to everybody?
Well, I would say number one is that as long as you keep your children as your number one focus through all of this, the rest of the decisions become pretty easy to make, I think, over time. And so keeping the children at the forefront and keeping the lines of communication open with the other parent are going to only yield in positive results for everyone. And so the more you can move yourself down that road of openness and being able to communicate and being able to share and being able to keep the kids out of the middle of it and not use them as the messengers of communication, you're going to end up with a lot healthier result in terms of how your children end up, I think.
I believe that's absolutely true. And, you know, when you finally surrender and give in to something like that, your finances start becoming healthy, your other relationships become healthy, your relationship with yourself becomes more healthy, and everything changes. So thank you, Jai Narayan Kisoon, for being on the show tonight and speaking to us all about cooperative parenting and for founding OurFamilyWizard.com. And we look forward to much more coming from you in the future with your innovation and your energy and passion. And thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. Remember that the last six letters of attraction are action. So get in action like Jai has done and create something that will impact your life and the lives of others and make a difference, because that's what you're here for. Thank you, everyone, and good night.